performance, performing. Lots of talking, but never ever gets boring. Rounding up the humorous stuff in the news about Mormons. Can't wait to see
what's that? Yes, everyone, here we are once more. This Year in Mormons is back. Or whatever we're calling now.
I was going to say, are you sure it's This Year in Mormons?
This weekend, members of the Restored Gospel of Latter-day Saints. I don't know what we're supposed to be called now, ladies. I have no idea.
That's right. We've got to change our name.
We're going to have to consider, you know, is TWIM now outdated?
I believe now it is TWILDS.
TWILDS, okay.
This weekend, Latter-day Saints. TWILDS.
It doesn't have the same ring.
It's been a while since we've joined you, and obviously there's a lot to talk about, namely whether Mormons even still exist in any capacity, and all sorts of other stuff. But of course, I'd like to, you know, welcome my hosts, my partners even. It's not like your guests or anything. Anyway, the Twin Sisters are here.
Hello.
Tiffany,
hello. Nice. We're happy to be here tonight. It's been a while.
We've missed it.
It has been a while. I think the last time my dulcet tones graced your ears was like May.
Yeah, you guys have been MIA.
So maybe a little bit of housekeeping is in order then. Maybe I'll clue in our listeners about life and stuff. So obviously Al is not with us right now. And that's part of what I'm going to talk with you guys about. Don't worry, we didn't have a falling out, but I did beat him up and I won.
Of course you did.
No, but so actually a lot has gone down and there have been a lot of reasons why there's been some radio silence. Part of it was the sisters were kind enough to still do their shows, but they were kind of the only ones producing anything, and I didn't want the show, not any offense to the great work they're doing, but to be like, okay, so once a month the Twin Sisters show up and there's nothing else happening on the Twin feed. That's not cool. That's not good enough for you guys. You've always been here with us listening every week. So we hit a little pause on theirs while we regrouped. So since May... Let's see. Al had a baby, so that was fun. He's a giant, which I would expect, and it's good, and that's been very good. And then I had a lot of stuff happen on my end. I changed jobs, and we bought a house and moved and did a lot of things all at once. So my summer was like shot. So I, paying attention to TWIM on the side became a bit much harder than it used to be. It turns out when you have an easier job and have time to blow off managing your little side hustle... It's a lot easier than when all of a sudden you have a newer, better job that does require more of your time. And so I've been trying to find my way to address all that. So these aren't excuses, but they're reasons. As for Al, he's still involved, but he wants to not be on as regularly. And so we're going to be trying to get back into a weekly setup with a rotating panel of many of your favorite hosts. The sisters are kind enough to hop in with me this week. They'll still do their own show, so you won't have to hear me if you are anti-Jeff, and many of you are, probably about 48% of you. Not quite sure the numbers. Either way, you won't have to hear me all the time. Al's still going to show up now and again. It probably won't be much different than what you've become accustomed to, actually, because we were kind of just doing one once a month-ish together anyway. But we'll have other people as well. And so we're hoping to get the content ramped back up, and you'll hear lots from a bunch of great LDS voices. We have a lot of good friends in the TWIM community who have offered to help out and become part of this panel of hosts. So on any given week, there'll be different people here, ideally, you know, talking shop, still doing the same thing that we do, still making you laugh, still making you think. I'm sorry for the long rant. I just wanted to clue everybody in. And I think that brings us up to
I think
to
it does, too. Yes,
ladies,
and TWIM Sisters will still be on once a month, giving you mom talk.
Yeah, we're excited.
Yes, and so this week ought to be fun because this is like where worlds collide right now. We have the mom talk, the Idaho, the so delicious, the whatever the heck you people do
the
in the
East
Intermountain
Coast.
West.
Meets the East Coast.
And now you have this... Now you have East Coast elitism here in Washington, D.C. I am the swamp, proudly
okay, I
so.
I want to know, living on the East Coast, is there anything you guys talk about these days besides political scandal?
Well, it's a mix. It's a mix. Where I work, in my new job, there's not much discussion of politics for the sake of cohesion, so that's a bummer. Because my old place, everyone there was like a left-of-center foreign policy wonk, and so I was like, yeah, Trump sucks, man. Yeah. I don't say much nowadays at the new position. Just, even in the past week, not to digress much, I heard many people on the aisles over me just being like, I don't know why that woman would lie and just say such terrible things about that man. And I'm just like, uh-huh. I'm going to put my headphones on now.
Workplace conversation?
Yes.
I want to know what it's like at church. Does it come up at church a lot?
Oh, yeah. How's Paul?
No. No, this is the thing I do love, and I don't mean to be an elitist, but one thing I've loved ever since I moved to D.C. is, I don't know if it's because it's a company town, so to speak, political stuff doesn't really come up at the church at all. I've been in plenty of wards that are like half and half, like Republican, Democrat. The demographics are a lot different. And I think just everyone kind of like knows
it's a
better
safe zone,
than to.
And nobody's going to. Exactly. I can appreciate that.
There are lots of. I feel like, I mean, I grew up in California, and even though it's California, Southern California Mormons are a very interesting breed of Republican for the most part. And there's a lot of stuff that's an axiom, right? That people just assume, oh, you voted in 2012. Like, well, we're all voting for Mitt Romney, right? Yeah, there's assumptions all the time. You don't get that out here, and it's actually pretty refreshing. Everyone just kind of shows up and like lives the gospel and tries to learn stuff and doesn't really want to make assumptions one way or the other.
That's
about anybody,
awesome.
Which
I like that.
I love. At least you guys are in the Boise area and not, I don't know, Idaho Falls, which is probably
I don't know. It kind of depends on the part of Boise that you're in, because the part that both Ariane and I live in has a very heavy Mormon population. And so whenever you get particularly heavy Mormon populations, you're going to get lots of assumptions about political beliefs and political thoughts. Mm-hmm.
Especially within our church. I mean, it's not like there aren't other areas with, a dominant religion in the community, whether it's like, Catholic countries or whole communities. But Mormonism is a special breed of insular, I think. And sometimes we can be very strange.
Very true. Well, and I mentioned, I think, in our last conference podcast, we've got a member of the 70 who's up for election on the general ballot here in Idaho come November. So,
Well, yeah, but isn't he emeritus? Didn't he get to the bottom of that?
He said he was emeritus, but at least last time I checked the church website, he wasn't. So I don't know if he is or not.
It's good old Scott Groh, right? I mean, how is he not? If your first name, let's look at his first name. His name is Cecil. Okay, that's why his name's Cecil. Yeah. So his name is Cecil Scott Groh. And I guess he didn't have a lot of options because his name is Cecil and he didn't want to go by that. But he didn't think that when he said, when I'm a general authority, because I'm sure his whole life he's just been Scott Groh, and that's fine. But once you show up in the general authorities and they're like, no, you need to make sure to have an initial if you're not using a letter. It's legally binding for general authorities for some reason. And he's like, do I have to be C. Scott Groh? Because I think they're going to make fun of this. They're going to think it's I'm a children's book.
Well, when he speaks, he always jokes about it, right?
Okay, so that's good.
He does. He at least it's a few. I've only heard him speak once in like an area conference, state conference type thing, and he joked about it. So I don't know.
But it is kind of funny to see his posters all around town that say, see Scott Groh. Just like you said, sounds like it should be a children's book.
I'm looking at the church website. I'm trying to see if he's still just one of them. Because if so, I feel like that's just bad eggs. Especially if you're running for office. Yeah. I mean, President Benson, when he was Elder Benson, was in the cabinet of President Eisenhower.
Agriculture secretary.
Concurrently, but that's, he was appointed as the agricultural secretary. He wasn't running for office while being a 12 or anything. So that's
It's very curious.
Gray area.
Have you thought about protesting? I don't know how you feel about his candidacy, but either way, you could rouse some rabble.
Well, I'd like to be able to shut my face at church and not get egged. he is very popular amongst the Mormons here.
He's a Republican in Idaho, he's going to win.
I said, very
that's all you need to be
very popular. So yeah, he's going to win.
But you got to stand for something. Like, you got to be as obstinate as, Fraser Crane would be. Stand on principle. Just stand there resolutely preaching to people. This is your Samuel the Lamanite moment.
I know, but again, I don't want to be ostracized from my fellow church members.
If they ostracize you, they are the ones failing to live the gospel.
But you know what? He's a really nice guy. I do kind of like him.
Oh, well, that's fine. I mean, I like him.
I mean, I can't can't see any reason to stand against him because I like him. So, you know, I'm probably going to vote for him.
Is there even anyone running against him?
Well, I think he's got a Democrat, but I don't know who the Democrat is.
I've heard nothing of this other person, but that's how it works.
Let's see here. What is it? Idaho District 14.
It's not my...
Let's find here. Ballotpedia tells us everything. This is important to our listeners.
Exactly.
They don't know what's
I'm
happening.
Sure they're enthralled.
All right.
But the Democrat would be a token Democrat.
C. Scott Grow is running against Richard Boozle.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him.
I've seen...
Well, you guys
well,
are getting
seen no
word
signage
out. Of course
around.
You haven't heard of him.
No, I haven't seen any signage for him either.
Now, what happened to Marv Hagedorn?
Oh, he ran for lieutenant governor in the general in the primary election, so he had to give up his seat.
I see. That's why.
That's why C. Scott, could kind of slide on in there. But the other one in that same district is she's a representative. Her name is last name is DeMordant, and she's also in my stake.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Man. Okay, so for token Democrat, it's not looking good, though. I mean, Marv won this thing 2 years ago, 70% to 29%. So
that's kind of how it works. Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
Unless
you're in the North End in Boise, then the Democrats run rampant there. We've kind of quartered them to...
They run
We've
rampant.
Kind of quartered them to their own little section of the city. We believe in segregation here in Idaho.
Oh boy. The sad thing is, I imagine there's many people who legitimately still do. And Brown versus Board is just like, what a shame.
Oh,
what
goodness.
A shame. Man, this is going to do great for our Idaho listeners. And we actually have many. I'm really excited. I should dedicate this entire episode to just trashing Idaho. Let's also talk about a couple years ago when I was driving up to Rexburg for some family gathering. All of a sudden, once you're cruising up, you know, the old
yes.
15,
yes.
Day, right? All of a sudden, once you cross Idaho, I didn't see a lot of Trump love. This was 2 years ago. This was leading up to this pre-election. It was like September. Okay. I didn't see much in Utah. Utah was conflicted. Utah, Evan McMullen
right,
was in play. Lots of things were happening in Utah. But once you cross that border into the potato state or the gemstone state, whatever the heck you're called, all of a sudden, I saw Trump-Pence things all over the place. And my brother lived there, and I said, really? Here in the Mormon part of Idaho, everyone's just all in, huh? He's like, yeah, I don't know. I just, I got nothing.
Yeah.
I was just perplexed. This was back when Mormons, on paper, like, had more of an issue with Trump, you know, before everyone got in line. And so it was bewildering to me, because I was still in these majority Mormon areas. I was like, oh, really? Really, sir? They don't have an Evan McMullen.
Well, the other thing too is you have to remember you were over in eastern Idaho, and they are even more conservative than the Boise area.
Well, we all know about the silly honor code standards at BYU Idaho, so that's
exactly
understandable. I could never live there. I'm all about being in a pluralistic society where I can learn from people with whom I don't agree, but I don't think I could swing.
Well, not
there.
Not in eastern Idaho. Boise is a lovely place.
I've always heard good things about Boise. People rave about it. They say it's got beautiful brown hills.
But they have lots of really good trails for walking in the beautiful brown hills.
And biking.
Yeah, and I understand you have a Costco.
We have two.
And some shopping malls and things. And I've
so
heard
delicious.
Great things about it. Meridian.
We have a So Delicious.
And, So Delicious.
And now we have Chip Cookie, another company that is a Utah-based company.
Oh, what is it with Mormons and the one-way ticket to diabetes? Okay. Why is this? Why is this a thing?
I have to tell
people?
You about where the Chip Cookie is located in Boise area. You're going to laugh. So my daughter, Lauren, works at the Chip Cookie. And when they first put this location in, I thought, they're crazy. What are they thinking?
I know.
They I don't know if they rented or they bought a building in downtown Boise at the very end of this block that is all bars. And Chip Cookie stays open until 2 a.m. And so they have drunk people stumbling in there all night long to get their cookies.
They found another market besides the Mormons. Because
exactly.
When they first came to town, we all thought they would go to Meridian, where all the Mormons,
are.
And where the So Delicious is.
Right,
but no,
right.
They went to where the alcohol's served. So...
They're smart. Next step, you legalize marijuana recreationally in Idaho. Put it, boom. Boom, pull a Colorado, and this
thing's
going to light
up. Well, and I told my daughter that. I mean, let's just face it, even though it is not legalized here, because it is legalized in several of the surrounding states, it flows abundantly here. So I told my daughter, I said, they need to figure out how to market to that 420 crowd.
They should. I bet if you go up to Coeur d'Alene, there's just a haze over the whole town.
Sure.
Just walking over from Spokane.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's fantastic. We've had a scintillating discussion about Idaho.
Makes you want to come
what
visit.
A place. So if any of you are still listening by this point, we will talk about Mormon-related or Latter-day Saint-related things. I don't know. Okay,
yes,
let's talk
yes,
about that.
Do.
So for those of you who did not see this big story, we don't have it queued up as something we're doing this week, but why not? So, yeah, this amounted to a few things. Basically, there was a press release when President Nelson suggested that we refer to the name of the church more appropriately, which they've done many times
right.
in the past, especially with the press. They say, you know, don't call it the Mormon Church, don't call it the Church of Latter-day Saints, whatever it is. Call the church by its proper name. And then at the same time, there were updated media guidelines, which have always been at the Mormon newsroom, on how to refer to all sorts of things. Everyone took this and because Mormons was the cry, or Mormonism, all that stuff. And they had always really funny ways to describe things. Didn't one of them say to describe Mormonism, journalists should actually use the term the restored gospel of Jesus Christ?
I think that was one of the things they wanted the journalists to say, which is...
I don't even think McKay Coffin will break that, folks.
I know. I don't think this is going to stick, the whole thing. They've tried and tried and tried.
Their branding on Mormonism was just too good. I don't think it's going to stick.
I know. We've vacillated like this over the years. I do think this seems like a more really overt push to do it. In the past, it's kind of been like, hey, guys, come
on. This is a good idea. Let's try it.
Yeah, but...
So they seem set on it, but what I saw a lot of, and for those of you who read and follow thisweekinmormons.com, I posited that these guidelines were very clear. They said refer to the name of the church in one certain way, you know, the proper name of the church, and that the rest of it was for the press. So I said, we're still Mormons as far as I'm aware. Like nothing said, hey, members of the church, stop calling yourselves Mormons. Now there is something to be said that like we can lead the way and you know set live by example and all that kind of stuff, but I saw so quickly so many, especially social media outlets and other institutions that just rushed to saying, "Oh, I am the first one to drop Mormon from our mind." Ladies, is everything okay over there? Did we spill some wine?
Our microphone was just tipping. We're getting it back in place.
Okay.
We're good.
Can you paint a word picture for our listeners of this microphone setup that you have embraced for the show today? Because I think
they do.
Okay. So I forgot to bring the mic. We're recording at Tiffany's
office. My office.
I brought the headsets. I brought a splitter. I forgot the mic.
So we were scrambling around to find a mic. And so I happen to have a headset in my desk drawer that has a mic on it. So we took that headset and we have duct taped it to my desk with the mic part facing straight up so that we can record this fine podcast tonight. That's our redneck Idaho ingenuity.
A total MacGyver move over here.
Yes. We're kind of impressed with ourselves.
I think MacGyver is a better euphemism than just slamming rednecks, Tiffany. Gosh. Don't you know how big we are in eastern Kentucky? You just alienated a key demo.
No. Most rednecks I know embrace their redneckness and are quite proud of it.
So anyway,
the name.
I saw a lot of people. Did you see a lot of this? Like people very quickly, like at least as far as social, like Facebook groups or pages and this and that, very quickly ditching Mormon as fast as they can.
Absolutely. It was brought up like in Sunday school the very week that it came out. Somebody mentioned it
in Sunday school. I was still in prime. I was in primary, so that didn't
come out. You were shielded in this.
The six-year-old
shielded
didn't care.
In the safety of primary. Yeah, it came up.
Yeah, I think that it's kind of culturally, like the really stalwart Mormons are looking at this like, if you are on the side of the prophet, you will only refer to this church as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Well, and that's fine. That is the church. I'm all for it because I think the church direction was very clear. Like, you know, and so refer to it accordingly. But I feel like basically, and we had people, a lot of people messaged us on our social media channels and even emailed and said, so are you guys going to change your name?
I know.
Like, you can't be this Week in Mormons anymore. And I just kind of figure, as long as Mormon.org is still there and as long as the Mormon Tabernacle Choir is still a thing, like, I just don't feel like we've actually received clear instruction to change. If that comes along, then sure, we'll address it and maybe
change it. Did you notice they have changed the hashtag for General Conference? It is no longer hashtag LDS Conf. It is now hashtag General Conference.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So that's one move towards that. I mean, it's fine. I'm just glad that Twitter doubled their character limit, because all these things they're trying to get us to do are not succinct.
Yeah.
I mean, General Conference. LDS Conf is, seven characters?
Yes, 7 characters. Oh, hey, automatic lights in my office just went off.
We're having all kinds of fun over here today. So,
I mean, General Conference is like 17 characters or something crazy. Anyway.
So the new hashtag is General Conference, not General Conf.
No, General Conference.
Not General Conf.
How is that better than thing. LDS Conf?
Because it doesn't say LDS. And LDS is not.
You're not supposed to say LDS anymore.
But it also doesn't say anything about the church or Jesus Christ.
No, but it says General Conference. It doesn't refer to Mormons or LDS.
General Conference of what?
Yeah, that's what I'm really hoping happens. I hope it starts trending and it gets confusing because they're having some kind of big summit in Houston.
I know there could be some multi-level marketing conference that gets confused with this. Right?
Well, who knows? Maybe they've put a trademark on the term General Conference.
Maybe.
Well, if you do Google General Conference, the church's their SEO game is very strong. I mean, it's like entirely. You have to get all the way down. The last reference is for the Seventh Day Adventist. They have a general.
We could get confused with the Seventh Days.
And then we're never going to know when the Sabbath is.
Exactly.
It's going to be a big mess.
Well, who knows? Maybe at conference the Sabbath will no longer be on Sunday. We don't know.
I know. We have to talk about this.
That is a conference prediction no one has brought up. They will switch the Sabbath back to the Hebrew Sabbath.
Yes,
I like that one.
We have to talk all of the crazy predictions.
Yes, because the internet is running rampant with crazy conference predictions.
People are going wild.
Probably more so than I think. I think because of how dramatic the last conference was.
Yeah.
Everyone is now, and now I don't know if you've seen this going around. I read some funny piece on one of those sites, that said it used a lot of anecdotal references. Basically, various apostles have referred to the forthcoming conference, and they referred to, like, you know, hey, if you thought you saw a lot of change in April, that was just a snowflake in the blizzard. This is a term that apparently has been used repeatedly by different members of the
club. I have seen that. I have also heard that Elder Holland is running around saying, if you miss General Conference and don't catch up next week, you're going to be lost when you go to church the week following.
Really?
Do you think they're just doing this to boost viewership?
I don't know.
Because they know?
I saw a meme going around that said that exact same thing, like the two-hour church rumor, and it showed a picture of the brethren like smiling, and it said everybody's going to listen to conference this year. This fall,
like it'll just be you know, a fool me once situation. They'll just keep going.
Exactly.
I mean, there are a lot of rumors. We don't know how substantiated any of them are, but I feel like it's like anything. Anything goes this time around. I've seen so many.
Well, people are definitely taking the rumors more seriously. There's always been rumors, but now people are like, "Well, no, it really could happen."
Right. I mean, because you look at everything that happened last conference, and we were all just mind blown. So, you know, it's kind of like outside of the box. Anything outside of the box is up for discussion on the table. You know, like let's have church on Saturday instead of Sunday.
Whoa!
No,
it's funny.
Strictly Tiffany 101.
You're going to start that rumor right now.
Maybe I will start that rumor.
It's kind of funny when you think about how like mind blown it was at the time. Because in the end, what they really did was they rebranded visiting teaching and made everybody do it. And they got rid of the high priest corner.
Pretty much.
Group.
Yep. And they called home teaching a new name. Yeah. Home teaching and visiting teaching.
That's what I mean. They basically renamed visiting teaching ministering and then said, now all of you do what they're doing.
Right.
And then we'll ask every now and then how
stuff goes. And at the time, we were like, whoa, they're getting rid of it. But then as it settled, it was like, okay, it's just got a new name.
Oh, it's a little different. You know, I was having this this discussion the other night with when I was doing my temple shift. Uh-huh. The lady that I was working with is a Relief Society president, and she said since ministering has come into play, it has made her job significantly easier because she said rather than call me and tell me the problem, they take care of the problem. And then they call me and say, this was the problem and I took care of it.
Oh, really?
They don't dump it in my lap and expect me to do it.
Huh.
So she said her job is much easier these days.
Well, that's interesting to hear. Hmm.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So what other rumors have you heard, though? Let's walk through some of the best, the greatest hits, the most expected things that'll come
this weekend. The biggest has got to be the two-hour church. Right? I mean, yeah. I've just seen that flying around everywhere. And I think everybody is like so hopeful.
I know
that this will happen.
And 2-hour church, that rumor has been around for a long, long time.
Right.
But I think what is fueling this rumor is there were a couple of pilot programs that I think they did in Utah and Arizona where they piloted 2-hour church.
So they really did pilot it?
They really did pilot it.
And they've actually done this more in far-flung locales. I've been to a branch that was a 2-hour branch before when I was traveling once abroad. So it's not a new concept, but it would be a much bigger deal for the church to adopt it. This is, you know, in a small. This was in a branch in Hungary,
right?
It was a small little thing.
Yeah.
But in general, it would be a huge change. I actually don't know if I'd prefer it. I mean, it'd be fine, but I don't know that. I think the goal of it would be, of course, to get us out of church, to get us ministering or with our families. But I really think I'll just watch an extra hour of Netflix.
Or take an extra hour of nap.
I know, a little more nap time.
Well, and there's been lots of rumors circulating around that if they did 2-hour church, what does 2-hour church look like?
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Because I don't mind 3 hours.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't have an issue with it. I'm like, that's good. You get to do different things. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
There's no issue here. There have been a lot of different. The main one you always hear about a sacrament meeting is what it is.
Yeah, right.
And then you would alternate in the second hour between either Sunday school and that sort of stuff 1 week, and then the next week it would be auxiliary.
Exactly.
Basically.
And
that's the typical model you hear about.
And I heard that was one of the programs that they piloted in Utah.
Oh.
But, you know, the crazy one that we heard today, or at least when I first heard it or read it, I thought, oh, there's no way. But now I think it's a possibility, and I want to tell you why I think it's a possibility. So the crazy one I heard today was a 15-minute sacrament meeting.
Right.
So basically you show up, you sing a hymn, you have the sacrament, boom, you're out. And then 45 minutes of Sunday school and 45 minutes of Elders Quorum Relief Society, Young Women's, Young Men's.
Right.
So, and when I first heard that, I thought, oh, there's no way. There is no way they're going to do away with sacrament meeting but for the sacrament. You know, which of course is the most important reason we go to sacrament meeting. But then I was reading this article on the new curriculum, because they have a new curriculum that's coming out in 2019.
For the youth, right?
No.
Oh,
this
for everybody?
New curriculum that's coming out is for everybody. It is for primary. It is for Relief Society, Sunday School, Young Women's, Young Men's. Well, I guess Relief Society and Priesthood, you know, will remain the same. But it's for primary youth Sunday School, and adult Sunday School. And so I guess it's going to be kind of like come unto me. And so what the article says is it says that all church classes, primary youth Sunday school, adult Sunday school, will study the same passage of scripture each week. And so they're going to have this manual that has these passages of scripture. Mm-hmm. So you're supposed to take these passages of scripture and you're supposed to study them at home as a family. They want to encourage family scripture study. And then that will be your passages of scripture that you discuss that week. Well, if you're alternating back and forth between Sunday school and auxiliaries, then you're going to have the primary every week, obviously have to, you know, how is that going to work? But if you have a really short sacrament meeting and then you have a Sunday school and you have auxiliary meetings, then yes, you could have every week a different scripture or section of scripture that is being studied by everybody in the ward. Hmm. So then I was like, okay, maybe the short sacrament meeting with, you know, 45 minutes of Sunday school and 45 minutes of Relief Society makes sense. I don't know.
I got to say, a 15-minute sacrament meeting is every parent with a toddler's dream. Right? I mean, 15
it's
minutes,
so true.
Send them to primary.
You wouldn't even have to bring a diaper bag to church anymore.
My church bag would be so small.
But But what do you think about the potential downsides of it? One, I mean, it would really, it's good to be on time. It would kind of force us to do that because you can't go showing up 10 minutes late
right.
and still make it for the sacrament. But there's, you know, there are lots of announcements and things to attend to. But also, I wonder about the missionary component. I have long felt that sacrament meeting is sort of the ideal place to bring an investigator when they're starting out.
Right.
Oh, actually, not. And by the way, we'll get about the term investigator in a second.
Oh, yeah.
To bring someone you are teaching.
Yeah.
To learn and feel the spirit, it's the thing that's the most similar to other faiths, you know, a mass equivalent, whatever it might be. And they get to hear good talks and see how the sacrament is and this and that. If without that, sacrament meeting is really important because you're taking
yeah.
a sacrament. But I feel like then you're really, especially for investigators, you are really relying on the Sunday school or auxiliary instruction to be that which sort of enmeshes them and interests them in the church. And I'm not saying it wouldn't happen. I'm not saying
yeah.
I speak for the church or received revelation on this matter. But my gut reaction is to wonder how much more difficult that will make missionary work in that capacity. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. We could also rise to the challenge and make it work.
That's a good thought. I also wonder about like the primary workers to only have 15 minutes to take the sacrament and not get to hear any other
yeah.
speakers.
Oh, that's true.
That's true. Not that you yeah. can't feel the spirit in primary, because I think you do have amazing opportunities to feel the spirit and learn in primary.
Do you really?
You do, depending on the age. I should say depending on the age.
She's a former primary president. She knows.
But
like if they're older, yeah, sure, it's great.
But yeah, I mean, think of like a nursery worker, and yeah, that's rough. You go to church and you have 15 minutes and then you're in the nursery for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And that's what I wonder about. So unless they adopt some kind of a program that frees that up, so nursery workers get to rotate
yeah.
in and out, so they're not, because that would be a drag for sure. I mean, nursery is a noble thing because
yeah.
you are basically making it so all the rest of the adults can have a good time at church. But you don't get anything
yeah.
out of it. You're babysitting for 2 hours every Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Well, I have another theory, too. So if they
right.
leave sacrament meeting alone and leave it its normal 70 minutes and then rotate every other week with auxiliaries versus Sunday school, then what they could do is they could do away with all primary classes. Because what they could do is they could divide the kids into junior primary and senior primary, knock out a few walls in some of those buildings to create two rooms. And then you don't have to worry about teachers. You don't have to worry about teachers not showing up. You don't have to worry about being too deep with your teachers in each class. You just have one big room with four or five adults in there managing the kids.
Hmm.
But what about the intimacy of the, you know, when those 6-year-olds sit down, eager to learn, not rambunctious or inattentive at all, how do you recreate that? I'm just kidding, because you know, come on, you get nothing done.
I just think that could
work too. That's the one area I do wonder about. Ariane, I don't know, as a former primary president, like what do you worry about condensing, if it were that way, primary into a 1 hour for everything situation? When I taught, I often thought they could shorten our teaching time to 25 minutes and we'd be fine. We had to fill 50 minutes with 6-year-olds.
Right.
And that was not easy. But I also don't know if just having just the one meeting, if that would meet like all the needs of the kids. I don't know.
Yeah, I think one meeting would be rough because I do think you get a lot out of class time. But I'm with you. I think the primary actual class time in the class, 45 minutes would be fine. There's a lot of times as a primary teacher where you're like, well, we got 15 minutes to kill. Let's color.
That was all the time. All the time.
Exactly.
Now this whole 15-minute sacrament thing comes from LDS Stake Clerk on Twitter, who says this is from reliable sources on the inside. Okay, we'll see.
We'll see. The joke will be on all of us, and we'll still be doing 3-hour church in 2 weeks.
I know. That's probably pretty likely, right? I mean,
I could go either way. But this,
so here are.
Oh, go ahead.
Here are a couple other changes, though, that at least this account suggests are coming up. That stake auxiliaries callings will go away, so the stake will literally just be the stake presidency and the high council with no other, and I assume the patriarch
yeah.
as well, but then with no other stake callings. And this frees up those people to go serve in their ward. It seems like they're trying to decentralize even more, according to this. Also, he says that mutual will no longer be weekly, but doesn't really say how often mutual would be. I don't know how I'd feel about that. I know mutual can be hard on families who have kids they got to take there, and there's a lot of time involved. But I loved mutual as a youth.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I think it's too important for the youth.
And it's really bonding for them. You know, having teenagers in mutual right now, I think it's super bonding for them. So I have a hard time believing that one's going to go away. I do have a thought on the stake auxiliary callings, though. You know, I mean, the idea of, oh, hey, we're going to return them to their wards. I mean, really, you'd be talking about stake Sunday school presidency, stake primary presidency, stake young women's presidency, and stake Relief Society. So that's essentially 16 people you're going to return to the wards.
That's true. That's not very many.
Not a lot. I mean, I'm sure there's some other stake callings too. But what I would like to see, if they did away with the stake auxiliary callings, let's add the women, some women, to the round table of High Council. Not calling them as High Council members, but just having them there, I'm not sure in what capacity, to advise. I don't know.
I don't think Scott Groh is going to be okay with this progressive mindset you're espousing.
I don't think they're there yet, but I love the idea.
Well, you know, again, I'm just thinking outside the box. Simply Tiffany 101.
That could be thrilling. I've also heard there are other ones going around. This is all rumor mill, not even like other conference predictions. Once again, the oft-mentioned temple ceilings in the United States will no longer also be civil ceremonies.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll be forced to be like everybody else and just do that on your own time, then get to the temple. I don't know about that one. Like, as we mentioned in an article 4 years ago, we had a bunch of different reliable tips. Active temple workers telling us that they'd been in meetings and they'd been told that this very thing was going to happen like immediately, like it would be happening in January of 2015. And we were like, wow. And I talked to lots of different sources on this to make sure. So we wrote an article about it, got a lot of heat for it naturally. But nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And it's more of a convenience thing for us in the US, but I also don't think something like this would be announced in general conference. Hey, here's a bummer story. We're no longer going to do your civil ceremony for all you Americans watching. The rest of you who are already not worrying about this, just tune out for the next 7 minutes. But it doesn't seem like a conference-y kind of announcement.
It's true. It doesn't. Well,
if it happens.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't see the need for that right now. Maybe a few years ago in 2015 when they were still trying to kind of sort out same-sex marriage and how that was all going to impact the ceilings and stuff. Maybe there was more of a concern about it, and now that seemingly has gone away cuz there's not pressure to say
what?
Hey.
You mean the legalization of same-sex marriage didn't bring down all of the church? Like, oh, wow.
I know. Hard to believe.
Sorry. Prop 8 still lives in my mind. Anywho. Let's see. Do we have any other big predictions we've seen going around as far as major institutional shift versus...
Oh, we have to talk testimony meeting,
yes,
right?
Testimony meeting. Or as I like to call it, open too, mic Sunday.
Yeah.
So there has been a lot of issues lately with testimony meeting and people having beefs with the church and getting up in testimony meeting, having their phones there, stating their beef, and then
slapping it on YouTube.
And slapping it on YouTube when they're asked to step down and no longer address the congregation from the pulpit. Mm-hmm. So I could see them wanting to get rid of fast and testimony meeting or make fast and testimony meeting a more controlled environment where maybe it's not voluntary that you walk up there, but maybe the bishop preassigns people to give their testimonies. Preassigned testimonies. Yeah.
Maybe.
Control the content.
That's called a talk. That's just a talk. That's all that is.
Anyway, so yes, lots of rumors that fasted testimony meeting may go away. Who knows?
I'd be sad if we lost it. I think that's if it would be going away primarily because we've just not been doing it well enough. I think we could focus more on instruction to just do it better. You know,
sure.
Like, come on, coach, give me another chance. It's that kind of a situation. Yeah. Like, we could fix this. We could get in there and have good testimonies. I've been in wards where whoever's conducting has gone out of their way to remind everyone prior to just say, we want to remind you that a testimony can be, you know, this, and this. An edifying thing. It's not appropriate to come up here and just give a travelogue for no reason. And that can help.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd miss it. It's fun. And also, that 1 week is nice for bishoprics because they don't have to plan
True.
any That's now, if true. We go to a 15-minute sacrament meeting, then they never have to plan talks ever again, which is
true. That takes care of that.
Well, and a big negative of the 15-minute sacrament meeting is, let's face it, how many youth cut their teeth on public speaking by speaking at sacrament meeting and then become, you know, pretty good public speakers? So it's a pretty safe learning ground, and it kind of be sad to lose that opportunity.
All right. We've only got a few days to write our representatives, because that's how they work in the 70s, right? And we got to call them, sit in by their offices, corner them when they're taking an elevator over to the other building.
Go on a hunger strike on Temple Square. Really got...
Poor Jeff Flake. I feel, we don't want to get political, but yeah. I feel for, you know, with all this going on, regardless of how any of us feel about the issues, if you look at Jeff Flake's Twitter feed, the day before, he clearly sent his son off on a mission, like his oldest kid.
Oh, he did?
Oh, I don't follow his Twitter feed.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Busy
so,
week,
so,
didn't
so
he?
His family's dealing with the wonder and the sorrow a little bit of sending off their kid on a mission. And he just said, like, I'm so proud today. Like, this is just one of these best days you look forward to. And then, like, the very next day, it's all hell breaking loose in D.C. with all this stuff. And I just feel like, Jeff Flake, you got a lot going on in your heart right now, buddy. There is a lot for you to
Well, big week. And when you looked at him, you know, when you saw him on television during those hearings, I mean, he normally seems like a pretty happy, kind of jolly guy.
Yeah.
He looked like he was carrying the weight of the world his shoulders.
But you know what? I appreciated it that he was putting the effort in and putting the thought,
wasn't rubber stamping.
Yeah.
So. Not yet.
Not yet, we'll see. But we don't know.
That's a whole other issue. But Jeff Flake, people, he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders.
There you go.
Does anyone want to hear about temple predictions? We talked about this before we recorded, and the sisters said, frankly, Jeff, we don't care. Talk about whatever you want.
We care, but this is not our specialty.
This is because
this is your department.
They're like, oh, we have our temple in Meridian now. We're good. We don't need to worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies, it's a global church. We're all in this together. This isn't about your fancy, like, modern take on the Cardston Temple. All right, it's real.
We want to hear your predictions. Actually, okay. I am curious about, was it you that put it on maybe the Twin page? You're predicting maybe a Washington State, Tri-Cities, or Tacoma, or was that you?
It was me. So a little spoiler alert, though. We're going to publish our actual predictions. I always do these with Joe Peterson, one of our other writers and our social media manager. So we'll publish these. But I will tell you this. The Tacoma Temple is actually not on the list. We'll hopefully have these published shortly, but it'll probably get an honorable mention.
Oh. Because I like the idea of that.
I mean, the logic behind it was, hey, why is President Nelson going to Safeco Field and just pumping up the Puget Sound?
Right.
If it's not precipitating something cool. Because he did the exact same thing in India before, and then they announced a temple there.
Oh, that's right.
But I don't know. I mean, membership there is, like, okay, but I hear the Seattle Temple's not crazy busy. So.
Oh. Hmm. All right. Well, what are your other predictions?
All right. We will have a handful. Let's see. One big one we're leaning on this year, Freetown, Sierra Leone. Another one in Africa. We've been announcing temples in Africa like gangbusters
right left.
Lately.
They are booming.
Well, that's where the church is growing.
It's doing okay in Sierra Leone, which is a smaller country. We do expect another temple announced in Nigeria, which is like well overdue. So that might happen in either Lagos or Benin City. But Freetown merits it. They've organized, let's see, in 2017 in Sierra Leone, they organized 5 stakes.
Oh, wow.
And then they had no stakes organized by 2011, and they've just been like just shooting on up since then. So that could happen.
Wow. Okay.
Other quick predictions, Joseph. We also look at the 200-mile radius. If you remember this, in 2011, President Monson sort of had a good news story and said, "Hey, 85% of the church membership is now within 200 miles of a temple." And so we've used that. We're using fancy maps where we have things, pins geolocated.
Ooh,
we
this make is circle- so official.
We make circles that are 200 miles in radius, 400 miles in diameter for you geometry buffs. And
that would not be us.
And we pinpoint them with their coordinates to where the temples are, and then we can look at the map and see where the gaps are, at least where the gaps make sense. So one of these where there's a gap is like Rapid City, South Dakota. that neck of the woods, they're all just a little bit farther from any of those temples. So that's one's a possibility. The big one that we keep calling, that we've called for 5 years, and it's never, like, it's hard, it's not even calling it at this point. Over in either Bentonville or Rogers, Arkansas. That's northwest Arkansas.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's a lot of members there.
There are a lot of members there, and the church, the area has grown a lot, and the church has grown a ton, out there. It is the, I believe, the most church-populated part of the country without a temple anywhere close enough. Huh. So that one's always on there. Got a couple in Mexico. I'm calling for a temple in Mongolia this time around. That's my big play. That's what I'm
hoping
for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
You can read more about it once we publish it, but yeah, that's, and also another one in Bolivia. That's what I'm thinking might happen this time. And last time we crushed it, so you should all listen to us.
You did. Okay, I've got one more prediction from conference that I forgot to mention. I predict at least during one session we will see Redeemer of Israel.
here's a prediction. Also, praise to the man. Have you noticed, though? So we got all excited years ago when they first had women start praying in conference, and I felt like it was just sort of a big, like, oh yeah, why don't we do this moment?
Right.
There's no rule about it, and some people asked about it, and they're like, oh, well, sure, yeah. Why haven't we done this before? Women prayed. Now, I think if you look back, though, the past at least two, maybe three conferences, no women have prayed.
They haven't done it. I've noticed that.
At first, I thought, well, you know, women are still outnumbered as far as those that are available to pray compared to how many men are there. So I just figured, you know, it's just a numbers game. It's okay if sometimes just a woman's not going to be called to pray. But now that it's happened like three conferences straight, it feels more deliberate. And I'm very curious about that. I mean, Ariane says she's noticed it. If it doesn't happen again this time around, I really have to wonder, like, okay, what's going on with this?
Then we got to get back on Temple Square, make it happen for April.
That'll be our new agitation. And that one would be a lot funnier. She'd be like, you literally were doing this like 2 years ago.
And now you're not.
I'm not asking for the priesthood. I'm just saying. Right. It was right there.
We want to pray. We want our prayers back.
Mormon women pray. So I'm looking forward to conference. Beyond that, who knows what will happen. We'll have no new apostles. We'll have some new 70s. Yeah. I don't know. The format now is, who knows what's going to happen. President Nelson's just mixing it all up. So I don't know.
Exactly.
It'll be fun.
All right. Yeah, take good notes. Okay, Ariane, millennials.
Oh, should we talk about millennials?
Talk about millennials and Utah's two dailies. Let's talk about
it. Yes.
That's right.
So there were several articles over the past couple weeks about millennials in the church. There were a couple from Deseret News.
Now do millennials, it's anybody right now between what, 22 and 37?
22 and 37. Okay. So I am almost in that category, but I'm not.
I am way out of that category.
So there were a couple articles. One was talking about how more millennials are coming, more missionaries are coming home early from their missions. And then there was another one from the Deseret News just talking about millennials in general, why they just want to be heard, millennials within the church. And it was super interesting. It was very, had a very positive take on millennials in the church. Like, this is the up and coming generation. They're running the church. In some countries, the young people are running the church. And
that's true. That's absolutely true.
Well, and that Deseret News article, I think, came out today. And there was a Salt Lake Tribune article that came out on Sunday. And so this is kind of in contrast to the Salt Lake Tribune article. The Salt Lake Tribune article on Sunday was talking about how millennials have kind of pick and choose the different covenants that they want to keep. And that a significant number of them, they're like, yeah, a cup of coffee, no big deal. Slam back a beer. Not a problem. Garments, you know, they're optional when I'm in the mood, you know, sort of a thing.
These people suck, Tiffany.
So we just thought it was hilarious, the different take from the Tribune and the Deseret News. Deseret News is very positive. The millennials are great. They're faithful. They're going to be running the church someday. And the Tribune's saying, these millennials are just half in.
So
can you be
half in, half out?
Well, that's the whole thing, though, in our culture now. I mean, like, whether there are many – the point of that Trib article was that there are many who are comfortable with that. Like, I'm here, but I'm not going to be, you know, fastidious with every little bit of things, which I think in Mormonism, even if we try to get away from the checklist, sorry, not Mormonism, the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, that that we try to get away from this checklist mentality. But even outside of that, I think there's lots of stuff that like we clearly work for. So it's an interesting mindset to me of just saying like, I know a lot of people too who are like looser with their garments, and that's their deal. I'm, you know, it's not our place to like sort it out. I mean, if you're a bishop, you can worry about stuff if you need to for your flock. But as fellow members, we just need to love people and be like, hey, you're doing your thing, and that's good. Be worthy. That's the goal. Just be worthy.
Right. And I completely agree with that. You know, I mean, we certainly have members of our own family in various states of activity levels in the church, you know, and I completely agree with that, you know, we need to love and embrace them. You know, I guess kind of my soapbox, and I was kind of telling this to Ariane because I don't know. I saw a blogger the other day, and there are several of them out there, and it just kind of got under my skin that they are a blogger and they profess to be LDS and to be very active, but it is very clear these bloggers really aren't interested in wearing their garments. And I'm like, that's kind of a more of a public forum when you're out there professing that, you know, you are active and participating and all of that, yet you're kind of not. And that kind of just rubbed me a little. It rubbed me wrong because it was more of a public forum, more than just like, yeah, this is what I do, you know, as opposed to somebody who came to my ward and maybe felt that way.
I don't know. I think it's just interesting this time that we're in where everything, millennials just get blamed for everything.
They do.
And they get lumped into a category. And just reading these articles, I thought there's always been people that.
There always has. That's very true.
Are half in
and half out.
And there's always, you know, millennials always get called lazy.
Yeah.
There are always people that are lazy at any age. But if you are in that age frame and you are any of these things, you're in trouble because you're getting labeled big time.
Because we're all entitled and we watched Mr. Rogers and he told us we were special. And it's ruined us. And it's made us weak.
Exactly.
So the poor millennials.
But Ariane, what was with the other story you referenced though? The missionaries coming home early. So millennial missionaries are coming home at like a higher rate than
right. They're saying
but they're
a
okay
study,
with it, right?
Yeah. That's well, true. They're saying the studies are showing that more missionaries are coming home early now, and not just because the numbers are up, but percentage wise, more are coming home early. But it's like from this article, it sounds like they can't like completely pinpoint why. Some people would, of course, blame it on the age shift, that maybe 18 is too young. But they did do a study and they divided it up like reasons. And it said like 36% are coming home for mental health issues. 34% are coming home for physical health issues. 12% for unresolved transgression. And 11% for disobeying mission rules. So it's interesting, the article just pointed out, a lot of it is not from transgression or breaking the rules. Most of it is mental health and physical health things. Well, and I think the church has really made an effort to try to take the stigma off of coming home early.
Yeah. Well, and I can't remember if it was this article or another article I read where they were telling a story of a missionary. He'd been out for about a year, and he decided after a year that he was done serving and he wanted to go home.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, yeah, I'm done. I've done what I need to do. I need to go home. And he went home. And I'm like, well, that's okay, I guess.
I try not to be pharisaical on that front. That was the moment I read. I was like, come on, man. You knew what you signed up for. Like, you know, well, I feel like I felt through my prayer that I'm done. It's like, well, no, when you get your call, it says you've been called of the Lord to serve for a period of blank months. It's fine. I'm sure he's fine.
You be on your soapbox about that, and I will be on my soapbox about the Mormon fashion bloggers who don't wear their garments.
That's fair.
As well you should be. As well you should be. You should have been around years ago when they had that, what was that, like the Hot Muffins calendar or something like that. Tiffany, you would have had a coronary. You'd be so upset about that.
I probably would have lost it.
It was a bunch of like, of ostensible, reportedly self-avowed active Mormon women taking like hot calendar photos. It wasn't like, you know, it's not like nudity or anything, but it was. I think, what was it called? It's called like Mormon muffins or something. I'm going to look this up and send you a link right now.
Oh, okay. No, I have not heard about this. I've heard about like the guys that they've done that with.
There was a guy one too. Yes, yes, yes. But,
I have not heard about the girl one.
I'm going to give you the link to an image search that's going to ruin your day. You're going to love it.
Oh, man.
I say that to a lot of people.
You know, to me, I think that's a little different if you're doing a calendar versus just like you're out in your everyday clothes.
Everyday life.
Everyday life. Going, yeah, well, this is fashionable for me.
Yeah, well, anyway, they love the muffins.
Anyway.
Yeah, there was the Men on a Mission calendar back when, too.
Yes, I do remember that one.
In fact,
I believe that there was a young man from my old ward in Provo who appeared in that calendar.
Oh, really?
Yes, if I recall correctly.
What a jerk.
Anyway.
I've got a couple of quick mentions here I'll just interject.
Okay.
President Ballard's, M. Russell Ballard's wife passed away this week, Barbara. So just heart goes out to the Ballard family. She'd suffered.
Yes. Yeah.
She'd had health issues for some time. She even had Alzheimer's. She was 86 years old. And that's hard to deal with. No matter how much you have a good testimony of eternal families and all that, that's a lot of weight that I'm sure is on President Ballard right now. So,
Well, he like all the other general authorities who've lost their wives, will probably miss her very dearly.
I'm sure he will. Also, for Studio C fans, many of you might have noted that in the summer they announced all 10 cast members were leaving the show after this season, which usually doesn't happen. That's like Saturday Night Live saying we're getting rid of everyone. And just starting over. But this was voluntary, and all 10 of them are going on to launch a new comedy venture, which is actually an online family-friendly comedy network called JK Studios. And so it's the whole gang, and they're doing this.
Yeah.
This whole thing. So it's all going to be...
This is exciting.
Online.
My girls will be thrilled.
Yes, I hope that it is extremely successful. I hope they can translate their Studio C success into a network success.
It's a big ask. And of course, it's network in the more contemporary sense in that they're not going to be broadcast anywhere. It's going to be online, on social media, all that sort of stuff. But that's keep an eye out for that. I think their first products or projects drop in January, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So that's going to go down. And and one other thing I'm going to mention, I referenced it earlier. Less Active, by the way. This isn't news. I was in a stake meeting, and we were asked to read Preach My Gospel. Our stake president said, the new chapter 13 of Preach My Gospel. And I was like, they add this in? And the chapter is just basically on how missionaries can relate and work with stake and ward leaders. And I said, this is not new. This has been there. So I read through it, and I noticed what was new was that they'd updated some of the terminology. So, and this happened in April, but I never noticed it or anything. Shows you how often I'm reading Preach My Gospel. But the term less active is nowhere to be found anymore in Preach My Gospel. Now, it's less active are called returning members. You'd think they'd make a bigger deal about this, but all throughout, they did a simple find and replace, and now it's all says returning members. The term investigators is also out the window, and now it just says people you are teaching, basically just something like that. So once again, the church is giving us longer ways to describe all these things we had shorthand for years. Nothing is Twitter friendly anymore. But
I know. So could you call a returning member an RM?
Oh, boy. See, this is a mess.
Oh, this is going to be way too confusing.
I'm going to go visit an RM.
Now, I remember when we moved away from calling less actives were typically referred to as inactives for a long time, which has a very negative connotation.
I do recall that.
Then we thought we'd soften it by pushing, well, they're not inactive. They're just less active. But it's like less than whom? You know, what is the barometer? And so now we're calling that we're being really positive, really euphemistic, and saying, no, they're returning members, which is a cool mindset. You know, same work, but you're trying to say, get in there.
I don't know how I feel about that, because returning makes it sound like, well, I was gone and now I'm coming back. And I think if you talk to a lot of these people, you know, they may not necessarily like the idea of the church saying, oh, well, you were gone and now you're coming back.
I think they need to be reminded and shamed into where they went so that they can adjust their behavior. That's clearly what's going to fix this. Just say, you know what you did.
Well, you're returning now.
It's very interesting. I wonder if this lingo will be like made more public anytime soon?
I don't know.
We'll be told.
Yeah.
Will we be told over the pulpit?
Maybe we'll be told over the pulpit.
These are the new names?
Yes. We are no longer going to be less active. We're going to be returning members.
And we're just
going
to rename the church the Reorganized Community of Christ.
Because that won't create any confusion.
No, well, it's reorganized. The other one, they already called the first one. So, by the way, I also heard one conference rumor that we were going to rename the Book of Mormon, like as part of the non-Mormon effort. Just the whole thing.
Oh. What in the world? I can't even imagine what we would call the Book of Mormon if we were renaming it.
I mean, he's the one who, you know.
Yeah.
That alone could be a fun poll. Like, what on earth would you rename the Book of Mormon in all actuality?
Right. The book, the record of ancient people who lived in the Americas.
There we go.
Just because we want to make things longer.
The book of tapers subbing in for horses. I don't really know what, I have no idea what you'd call that book. I'd love to hear your thoughts, listeners. Sound off on this one, because I don't know what you'd do for that one. Tiffany, what stories do you have? You wanted to cover some stuff. I don't want to leave it out.
I just wanted to touch really quickly on the accidental shooting that happened in Provo. So a couple of weeks ago, there was a gentleman who was in the vestibule, which is the space between the first glass doors of the church and the second glass doors of the church. And he had his backpack.
Is
and
that
he
the
was,
vestibule?
I don't know if he, that's what
I
it
thought
is.
That's just called the weather area.
Fancy name for it.
I know. Well,
it's
that
like
is that
mud
is
room.
The that,
church
yeah,
mud room.
The church mud room. Anyway, that's the official name for it. So he has his backpack.
Lawyer talk.
And I don't know if he's adjusting something in his backpack, but in any event, the gun that is in his backpack goes off. And it goes through the wall into a room where young women are meeting. Young women from another ward. And so this was all an accident. He had been out target shooting the day before and had thrown his gun in his backpack, totally had forgotten it was there, brought it to church, accidentally goes off, etc. So the reason that this story means so much to me is, first of all, it was a building I used to go to. Second, it was my old ward. And third, the guy was my home teacher. So, you know, knowing him, I am sure he was just beyond mortified that this happened.
Mm-hmm.
But probably the more bothersome aspect of this is a leader, and I'm going to assume it was a bishop, goes into where the young women are meeting, you know, trying to calm them down and everything, and says to the young women, now, we don't want to discuss this on social media. You know, don't say anything about this on social media. Just discuss this with your parents. We don't want to make a big deal out of this. Well, someone, I don't know if it was an adult or a young leader, women's leader, records the bishop saying that. So, of course, what happens? The recording goes on social media. Proving again, never tell teenagers what you don't want them to do, because they will do exactly what you don't want them to do. So the bishop should have gone in there and said, splash it all over social media.
Or he should have said nothing and say, this isn't something I need to control. Stupid accidents happen. Why are we involved in optics on this? For this.
Exactly.
Choose your battles,
exactly.
Bishop. Choose your battles.
This
You're not state public affairs.
Crazy.
Stay out of your things you don't understand. Oh, my gosh.
Was he a good home,
did he actually do his home teaching, though? That's what people want to
know.
Oh,
my gosh. He was the best home teacher. Okay. He was a home teacher during a time that I was going, well, before and while I was going through my divorce, and just the nicest, sweetest, really cared about me. I felt super loved. Just a really, he did ministering before ministering was ministering.
Oh. So how do you think your ward is going to take this? Like, is he going to be on the outs for a while?
You know, I have no idea. I haven't talked to anybody in my old ward since this happened. You know, he's kind of a character. So I'm pretty sure in my old ward, they just probably kind of nodded their head and went, yep, that's probably about right.
Oh, Marv. That's just Marv doing what he does, shooting people at church. Yuck, yuck.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, so yes, the moral of the story is tread lightly if you're going to bring your handgun to church. And, you know, my husband and I have had this discussion because there are people in my ward who we know carry guns. And there are people that he feels more comfortable with the fact that they carry a gun to church, and others that he's like, if someone comes in shooting, I don't want that guy pulling his gun out.
Aren't you not supposed to have guns at church at all?
That's church policy. Like, I understand if Idaho's an open carry or whatever, but church policy dictates no firearms in church buildings, period. Doesn't matter what the law is. No firearms.
And I agree with you. Absolutely.
Are these law enforcement?
No, these are just members. These are citizens. These are members
of my
ward.
Oh, I hate Idaho so much.
Oh, that's no good.
Do I need to find the reference in Handbook 1? Because I will find it. And then I promise you it is there.
Yes.
I'm just telling you, my husband can tell you exactly who in our ward is packing.
Well, he needs to go tell that
go
to the
shame
bishop.
Them. We need to shame everyone.
The bishop might be kind of supportive of that. I don't know.
The bishop's packing too?
No, the bishop is not packing.
Are you sure about this?
That much I do know.
Oh, dear.
Handgun to church. Selected church policies. Let's see here if we can find it.
Oh, he's going to find
it. Oh, he's going to find it.
Oh,
yes.
Well, I don't know.
Have him.
I don't know if it'll have. Yeah, I know it's somewhere, but I'm not going to make our listeners sit here while I try to peruse through the entire church handbook to find the word gun. But I promise it's there somewhere. It's not where I'm looking right
now. I think it's a thing because
a thing.
I think when this article came out, the church said something like,
yeah, they
we
did. They
don't
said,
allow
we don't,
guns
it, yeah,
to church.
Don't bring your guns to church.
Are you listening, Idaho? I don't care what you think is your stupid constitutional right. The church goes above constitutional rights. No guns at church. Wear your gun anywhere else. Leave it in your car. Give it to this Marv guy. Let him shoot people. Who knows? Ugh.
Yeah.
And the reason that you shouldn't have guns at church is for precisely the reason of, as my husband said, I don't want that guy pulling out his gun because he's not going to shoot the bad guy. His aim is really bad. He's going to shoot somebody else.
Good. Yeah, that's crazy.
Sometimes I forget that Virginia is also actually an open carry state, but because I live in the D.C. suburbs, which is like the rest of Virginia considers us heretics, you know, right?
Yeah.
So.
And rightfully so.
But it's always funny if like you go to a restaurant or something and they might have a sign that'll say like no guns. I'm like, what? No guns? I'm like, oh yeah, I guess you can have one here. Yeah.
All right.
Not
anyway,
Maryland.
So though. Yeah, that's my story. The only other one I really wanted to talk about was there was a great article that came out that said BYU Law School, for the first time, the class of 2018-2019, the entering class is 52% women,
wow.
Which is a huge jump from any number that they've ever had. When I went to BYU Law School, we were 25% women, 75% men, and the national average at that time was 50-50. And so they attribute this significant increase in women applying for and attending law school is a number of these are returned missionaries.
Ooh.
Who have gone out and served a mission, maybe seen a little bit of injustice and want to right the world. Little do they know that's not what actually happens when you're a lawyer. But it's a nice ideal.
It's a good dream.
You should write a cynical piece for like, so you want to be a working Mormon mom? Let me tell you. So you want
to
have a profession
and a lawyer to boot.
Yeah. Just a big cynical piece on why the Family Proclamation is good, but never mention that. Just anyway, I'm kidding. I was raised by a single mom. She did great things.
Good work. I know.
Well, folks, I believe we've reached the end of our line for this week. I have enjoyed this. Thank you for those of you, our wonderful listeners who have stuck it out, who have wondered what's happened to us. Seriously appreciate it. I'll get emotional if I think too much about how nice a lot of you are and missing the show and talking about it. But sincerely, thank you so, so much for always sticking with us. And we hope you enjoyed this past little bit with us. And we hope you have a great conference. Sisters, do you have anything else to plug? Are you still doing you're still aping Oprah with that favorite thing stuff? Or what are you guys doing?
Well, you know, we talked tonight about doing favorite things. But, you know, since this isn't a sister show per se, We'll save it for next time.
My favorite thing is sleep, and I get increasingly less of it of late. So that's what I'm going to go pursue.
That's unfortunate.
Anyway, you can find the sisters, all over the place with us. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Those are the main ones. We hope especially that you'll join us during General Conference. Follow along. Our Twitter handle is @TheRealTwim, not the fake one. The real Twim. We're not verified, so we figured we'd just throw you a bone and let you know. And just follow along. Subscribe to the show. Visit us at ThisWeekInMormons.com. All that jazz. Glad to be back in the saddle with you. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever you like. It's all there. So, ladies, thank you so much for sitting down with me tonight. It's been good.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been real. So keep an eye out for them. They're still here. We're all still here. This Week in Mormons is peacing out. So I will leave you as I always leave you and wish you farewell. And I forgot what my sign-off is. Be well, be holy, and be happy.
This Week in Mormons. This Week in Mormons. This Week in Mormons. This Week in Mormons. The original Mormon newspaper.